We use a lot of writers, designers, and developers to do all kinds of things, for sure. But what is going to happen is a lot of that work will be outsourced to robots instead of contractors. And so if I'm a specialist, in other words, I write code for a living, I'm going to get very comfortable with pair programming with a robot. If you don't want to do that, no problem. You're just going to be so inefficient that there's no way that you're going to be able to keep up with the marketplace.
Welcome to the How Leaders Think podcast, a show that transforms you by renewing your mind and giving you new ways to think. I am your host, Kenny Lang, and with me today is the Jay Owen. He is the CEO and founder of Business Builders. It's fun for alliteration. He started it as a marketing agency in St. Augustine or Augustine, if you're feeling fancy, Florida. But it's Florida, so maybe it's not as fancy. As a junior high school student, so early entrepreneur, love it. And it's grown year over year for 26 years from $5,500 in revenue to millions a year. Welcome to the show, Jay.
Hey, Kenny, thanks for having me.
I'm excited about this. We've been talking about our friend and one of your employees, Logan. He's really built you up. So
no pressure.
No pressure, but I'm sure it's going to be fun. Tell me today, Jay, what is on your mind?
What is on my mind? It's always AI right now. That's where everything goes in my head at the moment. I'm moderately addicted to it. I have a really bad shiny object syndrome, and nothing feeds shiny object syndrome like the latest AI news of the day, because historically, software cycles are like 6 to 12 months. Apple releases new software in the summer, or they talk about it. They release it in the fall. And that's it. There'll be some micro releases. Otherwise, you got to wait till next summer for big things. But in AI land, it's like new software every 24 hours, it feels like. And so it's a wild journey. And that's really where a lot of my focus has been, is thinking about the future, visioning for the future. How does that affect teams, structures, marketing, all the things?
Gotcha. Yeah, I know it's been fun. And everybody's on different cycles too, like between OpenAI, Anthropic, Meta, Google. And they all keep like trying to one up each other, which I think is, that's the beauty of capitalism, right? They're all competing for our attention and our dollars. As of this recording, I know we're probably about a month out or so from GPT-5, so long as they deliver as promised, which could be really, really exciting. But what, as you're talking to, and you have a couple of teams, you have your agency team, and then as you're telling me a little bit ago, you have a ministry team, marketing, communications team at a church, but as you're talking with your teams and others where you may be speaking and conferences and whatnot, what's the thinking and the prevailing wisdom amongst leaders and high achievers regarding AI? Like, are they leaning into it? Are they seeing it as a way to augment? Are they afraid it's coming for their jobs, especially those of us in maybe more like service-based businesses, knowledge work? Or are people leaning in like you?
My observation in the general public is, and this includes business leaders and owners, is most people aren't paying nearly enough attention to it. I think in certain spheres, what I found is I'll follow a lot of people on X or Instagram or wherever else who are really into this stuff, and I feel perpetually behind. But then I get in rooms full of people. For example, a couple of weeks ago, one of the other hats that I wear is I run a group of agencies called Agency Builders. And it's a community of just everybody runs their own agency. And we all just get together. We do a big retreat once a year. And we have a Slack channel. And we hang out and share ideas and commiserate together, you know? And I got to do a talk on AI to close out the event about a month ago. And I put a series of icons on the screen that were things that I use on a regular basis all the time. Now, keep in mind, the people in this room are agency owners. Most people in this room run 6, 7, 8-figure agencies. And of the 6 or 7 icons I put on the screen of apps that I use all the time, I would say most people could only identify the first 2 or 3. That made me realize that most people aren't nearly as into it as I thought that they were. Mm-hmm. And then even in general conversations, the mistake people are making is they'll have tried something, say, a year ago. A good example of this is imaging, like creating images with AI. If you mention images with AI to many, I would say most people, they'll say some version of, yeah, but it always puts eight fingers on people's hands. And that was true about a year or so ago, but it's not true anymore. Like the best AI models produce exceptional images And in fact, I had a guy argue with me at the retreat. I was up on stage and I said, feel free to interrupt me anytime. One of the guys was like, but here's the thing. We're way away from people not being able to tell the difference between what is AI and what is not. And I said, do you really think that's true? And he's like, yeah. And I said, okay. And I looked to the back of the room and my 13-year-old daughter was sitting back there. And I said, Eden, we come up on stage? And she looked at me like, do you want me to come up on stage? I'm like, yeah, come up here. So she comes up on stage. I hand her the microphone. I said, tell them about your science fair project. And she just finished a science fair project where she had 100 adults look at 10 different images. Five of them were AI-generated people. Five of them were actual photographs of people and in similar, very similar styles. And she said to the group, people could only correctly identify if it was AI or not 37.1% of the time. You can just look at that and go, that means that people cannot currently distinguish between well-created, that's the key, well-created AI and non-well-created. So I actually think most people aren't thinking deeply about it enough at all. I would argue it is the greatest, for probably some good and some bad, the greatest innovation in human history. I think it's bigger than the Industrial Revolution. And I think most people have no idea.
I would agree with you. The shift is so substantial. It's Industrial Revolution or even just like the democratization of the internet, like just being in every home, like that transformed so many things when we all started getting access, even if it took 10 years to load a single page. Yeah. God bless dial-up.
Yeah, I mean, but think about that. Like, that's such a crazy thought. Like, those of us that were around back then, it's like you'd wait 5 minutes just to get connected to the internet. And then once you were actually connected and you got the, you've got mail, because most of us were on AOL back then, it's like to load anything took ages. And now if it doesn't load instantaneously on our phone while we're in the mountains, we're like, what's going on?
Right. Yeah. Which is where I love Louis C.K. has a bit about people getting mad at their phones. He's like,
it has to like go to outer space and come back. Like, you have more power in your hand than sent a rocket to the moon. Like, it's like, chill out.
Obviously, you in agency land, and that's where I used to live. And you have all the stats of like, if a site takes longer than 3 seconds load, like people are, like 90% likely to bounce and never return. And I think 3 seconds is forever. Most people trying to shoot for that 1 to 1.5 second load time, just the impatience of it. And I do love what you were saying about the well-crafted piece, though, because I've gotten into this conversation with folks, and I would be curious of your take of this is just whether it's students, and I'm excited to hear that you're pushing your kids towards this, because I'm trying to do the same for mine, even though schools are frowning on it for whatever reason, is it's just outsourcing your thinking. There's no creativity. There's no thinking in business or whatever else. And I can imagine in agency world, you might even get like, if you're using AI, like, what am I even paying you for?
For sure.
Sort of thing. How are you addressing and educating people about what it means to have well-crafted deliverables, prompt engineering, things like that, to where folks think it's just absent-minded, let the computers do it. Yeah. But you and I both know that's not the case, but it seems to be a prevailing thought for the vast majority of people.
Yeah, I mean, the objection is exactly what you said, which is some version of AI is going to destroy creativity. And it's complete hogwash. It's not true at all. And I know it's not true because I'm wrapping up right now a 3-4 month class at my kids are homeschooled, but they go to a co-op. And so on Monday mornings, I'm teaching an AI class to about 35 homeschool high schoolers from about ninth to 12th grade. And it's been really cool because I'd say the class is pretty split. Now, it's mostly based on their parents' opinion of AI, because that's how kids typically function, especially in homeschool land. And half the class probably was super pro AI. Maybe it was 30-30-30. 30 was like super pro AI. 30 was neutral. 30 was anti-AI. By the end of the class, the whole class, there was no homework because I think homework's dumb. And instead, what I did was I said, look, I'm going to teach you a bunch of stuff. I'm going to show you many things. And in the last 3 weeks, it's going to be all presentations. And you're going to use your own combination of you partnering with AI to produce something that's interesting to you and to the class that uses multiple AI tools and creativity. If you saw some of the resources and creative outlets that these kids created, it would blow your mind. One of the kids created an actual functioning 3D flight simulator, a video game. Actually works. He can't. He writes zero code into zero design. Another kid wrote a video game that is like a kind of a board game, almost like a Risk style, moving characters around. The characters he designed in ChatGPT, he had it strip the background out of it. Then he uploaded those characters to another tool called Replit, made those characters the sprite in the video games, gave it continual instructions to build the game. They came from his mind, but he used ChatGPT to help him tighten it up and create a good prompt structure for it. Another girl created an audiobook with multiple voices, soundtrack, everything. One of my sons created an animated short that could be turned into a YouTube series tomorrow, and you would know no difference. Now, the question becomes, is that creative or not? Of course it is. It's completely ridiculous to say that it's not. It's not like they just went to the AI and was like, make me a project for my class. It's not that at all. They're using all these different tools. It's just that instead of digging the ditch with a shovel, they're digging it with a backhoe. And that's the difference. But they're learning to use these tools. And now I would say that probably 100% of the kids who were anti-AI before the class started are very pro-AI. Even the kids who are artistic, creative driven, and those are the ones who usually get their hearts stung the most because they feel like it's going to take away that piece. But the truth is, it's actually only going to accelerate. It's going to create possibilities that they could never have done before. Now these kids who are whatever, I don't know, 15 to 18 years old, are going to be able to produce things that top level creatives can. And so that's how I know it's not going to destroy creativity. But to answer your actual question, which is, how do we deal with that in the construct of business? How do we deal with a client saying, hey, aren't you just mailing this in? To that, I would say, you can go do it yourself. And they won't. Because number one, they won't know what tool to use. I mean, shoot, right now, this will all get better. But when you log into ChatGPT currently, there's like six different models, which are named ridiculous names. It's the most ridiculous model naming structure I've ever seen in my life, which is funny because Sam Altman even addresses this. And he's like, yeah, we know it's ridiculous. We'll fix it. So it's like, you got to know what tools to use, how to use them, how to put them together. Mm-hmm. Regular people don't want to do this stuff. I do because I'm a nerd and I like it. But regular people want to do whatever their job is. They want to do whatever they're good at. And so the benefit to a right-thinking marketing agency is that it only accelerates the value that we can create. We can provide more value in less time for the same money. That's a pretty good deal. And so we should do that. The idea, I hear some people who are like, I had a guy who was like, I had a copywriter who was applying for a role and we realized that they were using ChatGPT to help them, so we didn't take them. And I said, send me the resume, I'll hire them. And he thought I was joking. And I was, I mean, I was kind of joking, so I'm not trying to hire a copywriter. But I was like, bro, I want somebody who is actively going, how do I use AI to improve the output? I don't want somebody mailing it in, like, for sure. None of us want that.
Right, right, right.
But how do we use these tools in a way to produce a better, higher quality outcome in less time and create more time, freedom, and money for everybody? I'm into that. So,
So it's almost as if I paid you to segue into this, but people saying it's taking the jobs. It's not taking jobs. I mean, I think it will to some extent.
Sure.
But I am a huge fan of Paul Reitzer, who runs Smarter X and the Marketing AI Institute. And he has the Artificial Intelligence Show podcast.
Yep.
And one of the things that he and his co-hosts were talking about was, as they've been looking at studies and research and trends and just forecasting out, is the people who are going to, you're not going to lose your job to AI. You're going to lose your job to someone who knows how to work with AI.
100%.
And that might be better leverage in the prompt engineering, or as we start to talk about AI agents or agentic AI, that they can actually manage a small team of those agents and help them work together. Can you talk a little bit about what you're seeing and maybe even what you're thinking within the context of your own business about how do we, what are you looking for as you're potentially hiring? And what do you do with the existing staff you have to say, hey, this is where we're headed? And some of this is based on the fact that, like, obviously Logan posts everything on LinkedIn, but he mentioned y'all's quarterly coming up and just the heavy emphasis on AI and what it means for y'all and your clients. So can you talk about the work and how we can level up our skills in the workplace to future-proof ourselves?
Yeah, for sure. I think a couple things as it relates to this. Is it going to take jobs? I think it's actually going to create more opportunity than it takes away. That said, people don't deliver ice to our houses anymore. people don't generally in America, in most areas, dig ditches, especially big highway ditches, with shovels, right? Like, we use the tools that we have. Mm-hmm. You can cut something with a hand saw or you can use a power saw. There's not, it's not right or wrong to do one or the other, but if you're trying to get something moving, you're probably going to use the power saw. And so that's really it. And when I think about teams, I think about the, there was a memo recently leaked from the CEO of Shopify, and he basically said in this memo, using AI as a part of this team is no longer like a nice to have. It's an expectation of being on the team. Part of our performance reviews will be, hey, tell me how you're using AI in your role. In fact, he even said, if people are looking for a plus one or a new hire, they have to prove why it can't be done with AI and why they need a new person to do it. Because I do think there is going to be a something interesting that happens here. So think about agency life specifically. So for those of you that are not familiar with marketing agencies, Kenny, I know you are, but it is a butts in seat business historically. And what I mean by that is you can't scale an agency without more people because it's a people business. You need people to do design work. You need people to manage clients. You need people to manage projects. You just need a lot of people. And it's not the kind of business you can run with a handful of people and if you want to scale it past a certain point. And so like right now, internally, my team, about 5 or 6 years ago, we changed our model before I was thinking about AI, really, to our internal team is leaders, managers, and strategists. They're not producers. So they're not writers, designers, developers. We use a lot of writers, designers, and developers to do all kinds of things, for sure. But what is going to happen is a lot of that work will be outsourced to robots instead of contractors. And so if I'm a specialist, in other words, I write code for a living, I'm going to get very comfortable with pair programming with a robot. We've been pair programming for years in development land, but you're going to need to get good pair programming with a robot. If you don't want to do that, no problem. You're just going to be so inefficient that there's no way that you're going to be able to keep up with the marketplace. And so on a training side, when we're hiring people, we're asking them, hey, tell me an example of how you're using AI in your day-to-day life, whether it's your personal life or your work life. Mm-hmm. Show me what that looks like. In our quarterly that Logan mentioned on LinkedIn, we did a fun little team project where we split up into teams and everybody had to present. We were assigned basically like silly movie ideas and we had to present some version of that to like a pitch for that movie to the group. And in 30 minutes, we had people presenting visuals that looked like they were produced in Hollywood. Some people produced some video work. Now, some of it was pretty silly. Like if we're being honest, it probably wasn't production ready, but it was 30 minutes. And it was a pretty good pitch deck with scripts and slides and all this kind of stuff that historically would have taken days to produce and probably hundreds or maybe even thousands of dollars. And so I totally agree with the idea that AI is not inherently going to take your job, but somebody who is using it will. I am not hiring somebody, full stop. I'm not hiring somebody who is like, I don't use AI. You're not going to work on any of my teams. You're just not. So, but you might find somewhere else to work that works really good for you. No problem. But on one of my teams, I expect you to be able to use some of the latest technology because our mission here at Business Builders is to create freedom, money, and purpose for everyone around us, for ourselves and our own team, for our clients and the people that they work for and the people that they serve and their families, right? Mm-hmm. And so if that's true and we're not fully leveraging the resources and tools that we have, then we're not being a good steward of our time. And I don't like that.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Like if it, unless it's crossing some sort of like moral ethical barrier, shouldn't we take advantage, be educated on anything that would help us accomplish our mission faster, more effectively, more consistently?
Yeah. And this question comes up a lot in ministry. I had a guy the other day, I did a webinar on using AI in ministry land, which is not a whole lot different than business land, if we're being really honest, but people get real sensitive about it. And I had a guy that wanted to debate me on another podcast, and I was like, great, let's roll. Mm-hmm. And his primary premise was that we can't trust its output. And I'm like, I mean, I know, but can you trust the output of anything that you read or hear unless you know what the source of truth is? And the answer is no, you can't. Like if I listen to a podcast, how do I know if it's true or not? And so it was just such an interesting thing because people do get really sensitive about it. And I do think there are some boundaries. Like in the ministry space, I do not personally believe that somebody should just have AI write them a sermon and then go deliver it. I don't think that's a good idea. That's a personal conviction. Somebody else could disagree. In business land, I don't think that we should lie about using these tools. I think we should be open about it. I think our clients should want us to use them because it's going to be better for them in the long run if we are the experts in these tools.
I completely agree. I actually working, my church is also one of my clients, and I was working with the lead pastor on, I was like, you should probably have like a co-CEO lead pastor, something that you can bounce ideas off, because we're a small church. Like, we don't have a giant staff. We don't have a ton of money. And to be honest, like $20 a month for any of these tools is a steal.
Oh, it's crazy. It's like amount of value.
Right. And you don't have to give it benefits.
That's right.
The overhead's a lot lower, but was showing him like, here's how you could engineer some prompts to and some instructions so that it could help you think through your message. Cause he loves writing. He's very, very gifted. But what if you want to research some things? What if you're looking for a story illustration to find something? Like, there's a whole lot of stuff like building taking your time to build a sermon, or even just a speech, a keynote, a presentation, or whatever.
Sure.
Like, that's important. But whether it's ministry or business, it's still, you're still in the business of people.
Well, at the end of the day, too, it's no different than having a teaching assistant, like who's in a college who's going out and doing research for you or helping you grade papers or whatever else, or a ghostwriter. I mean, people talk about, oh, people should write their own books. And I'm like, most of the books that you've read that are from an executive or a pastor, I would be willing to bet that 70%+ of them were not written fully by that person. They sat and talked to somebody else and that person wrote that book. Because most of these people are not writers. Like, that's the point.
Yeah.
They're typically leaders. They're speakers. They're good on stage most of the time. But they're not inherently good writers. So they probably shouldn't be writing a book. But their ideas may have value in a book. So they should partner with someone, or in this case, a robot, to help. Or sometimes a combination of both.
Right. And to be honest, with depending on your opinions on how economies are moving or anything like that, is being able to leverage an AI tool can also be something that is more cost effective.
100%.
Protects the business. You actually could protect other people's jobs because you don't have to go out and hire, you know, three more people. You could just spend a little bit of extra money to train your people on how to use this one platform.
That's right.
And suddenly now we have better margins, we're more sustainable, we can be calm when the storms of economic disruption are happening around us, you know, whatever industry you may be in. So when you start thinking about not just, you know, whether it's agency, ministry, like a lot of those things are like, I have deliverables, I'm working on this, I'm coordinating this thing, that thing, the others. When you start talking to leaders, like maybe even that agency builders group or other ministry leaders, people who their job is to make decisions about the work that gets done. Their hand may not actually be on the plow, so to speak, but their job is to think through it, make a wise decision, steer the ship, set culture. A lot of the intangibles. How are you thinking about AI in those contexts? Because I think deliverables were sort of like the first thing AI could start to influence, right? You want to write website copy for a particular length and a format and a voice and whatever, and like you can compile that, boom. But what if I'm trying to think through my go-to-market strategy? What if I'm trying to ideate a product service line? Like, what do I keep? What do I get rid of? How can we start to leverage that? Or do you think that that has some limitations currently?
No, I think it's really good at that stuff currently. You just got to know the right tools and the right models to use. So for specifically this week, as of the recording of this podcast anyway, ChatGPT or OpenAI just released their newest reasoning model called O3. So remember, that's listening. If you're wanting to do really deep thinking brain work, that's the model to talk to. And I do mean talk to. I will put it on voice mode in my car and just talk to it. And it will have context for, I'll either have an ongoing chat, so it has context, or now it actually remembers memory across past chats as well. So the more you use it, the more it knows about you, the more it's able to give you contextually aware advice. And I can even tell it like, hey, these are the kind of leaders, the kind of companies who I admire that I want to be like. And based on those leadership styles and structures and systems, here's some things I'm struggling with. help ask me some questions. These are things you would never do in real, like most people would not think this way. You go to the robot and you say, ask me some questions that I might not be thinking about. What do you need to know, you, the robot, need to know from me in order to help give me the best counsel on this particular issue? And it is amazing, the kind of feedback and like thought structure, because you basically now have a 24/7 counterpart who, the more you talk to it, the more it understands you. And so the more it can get into your brain a little bit, which I realize is a little creepy for some people, but it's super helpful because I can dissect and think through ideas and go, oh, I didn't really think about that. And it helps me avoid problems before they happen.
Yeah, I had the voice feature has been a lot of fun. When my kids are like, what are you doing? Like,
talking,
are you
on the phone? Robot.
Yes, no worry. I'll just replace you with a robot. But it's my AI child.
That's right.
But I had a brainstorm one weekend on a topic. Like, I'm just trying to think through, I've got all these tools in my coaching practice and how do they fit together? And what's the through line? What's the thing? Like, I have a sense of it. I want to talk through it. So I just started, I turned on voice mode and started going through this chat. And went back and forth. And I mean, in the matter of like 15 minutes, I got so much clarity because of it was asking me this. And then I'd answer and says, okay, it sounds like this, this, and this. Have you considered A, B, and C and how they could interplay here? And I'm like, no, let's explore this one. And it just keeps taking you down these paths, which I think, again, fascinating, could be weird. It does feel weird the first time you do it, but then you start to get used to it. And I do love being asked those questions, because one thing that I figured out is I pride myself on asking good questions. I'm an interviewer on a podcast. I'm a coach, a facilitator. Like, that's supposed to be my job, is asking really good questions. But I can't ninja myself, right? Like, you could ask me the exact same question I asked myself. I'm going to give you the better answer.
That's right.
And so now I can leverage AI for it. And something you've mentioned about, like, hey, I admire A, B, and C, and I want you to maybe give, like, what would they say? My coach, Benj Miller, was talking on a Monday call with a bunch of us system and soul coaches. And he said, here's something I played with over the weekend. And I'd love to hear if y'all test this out, is I had ChatGPT help build a custom GPT that is like a personal board of directors. And I said, probably this number of people, I want different domains, and I'll start giving you the different people I want you to act as. And he goes, and so it's people, he goes, I would never get access to.
Mm.
Maybe they're not even living, right? Like, they're just, you know, we're prolific authors and thought leaders or whatever. And he goes, and now I can open up this GPT and say, I'm thinking about this in my business. Can you help me think through it? Make sure I'm not missing anything, or help me see how this impacts the other things I have going, so I can see the relationship. And so it was just fascinating. I've heard it twice in 1 week. So I'm like, all right, like, universe, Lord, whatever. I was like, I'll go build one of these. Apparently I need it. But is that something, is that helping you? Because you sound like a guy who's in peer groups, probably as a coach, these sort of things, and you've invested in yourself. How do you balance investing in yourself where you can, I mean, you have the entirety of the internet at the disposal of AI, and it can morph into any person you have access to or never could talk to in a million years.
Yeah.
How are you balancing still gleaning wisdom and sharpening yourself with humans, friends, other entrepreneurs, leaders, coaches, mentors, and what AI can bring? How do you start to bring that into balance?
Yeah, this is a great question, really important. I think that the world is going to diverge in two specific directions at the same time over the next decade or two. One is a highly automated, AI-driven future, literally driven. I mean, I don't know if anybody's ridden in a full self-driving Tesla lately, but the software as of the last 3 to 6 months is unbelievable. It drives better than I would say 90% of human beings. It is unbelievable.
Now, when that's a low standard.
No, that's true. Maybe 95. When I first got my Tesla 4+ years ago, the autopilot was glorified self cruise control. It was cool, but it was super jerky and not real smooth and would make all kind of mistakes that were dangerous, wouldn't stop at red lights, stuff like that. Now it is fully autonomous. It doesn't actually need me. The only reason it needs me to pay attention or touch the wheels is because of government regulations. Otherwise, it could take me from, I have it all the time, take me on 45-minute drives. That's AI driving the future. Now, on the other side, the other divergent I think is going to happen is people are going to be even more desirous of community and real human relationships. I think this will take place more often than not in person. We know that this is a big problem for humanity because we all live through COVID, right? And when you live through COVID, one thing became apparently extremely apparent, which is that it's not good for man to be alone. We're not good in isolation. I'm in my studio right now, and I spend a lot of time in this room staring into a screen, talking to other human beings, and it is not the same as sitting around the table, talking, sharing a meal, having a drink, having a coffee, whatever it may be, not the same thing. The other thing about real humans versus robots is I could program a robot to artificially hold me accountable, but there's really no, other than like self-guilt or self-shame, which is not the same, there's no real accountability. And so the value of real community, real friends, real coaches is somebody can go, hey, I know you said you were going to do X, Y, and Z. How's that going? And you have to be able to
turn off a person.
Exactly.
You can't go, I'm closing the window.
Exactly.
I mean, it'd be funny to do that to somebody in real life. Like,
just swipe them and get out of here. So I actually think that the value of in-person specifically, I'm going to double down on some of the in-person stuff, relationships, community, coaching, all those kind of things is more important now than ever. Because the one thing you got to pay attention to when you are coaching with AI or communicating with AI or getting feedback from it is a confirmation bias beast. It loves to tell you what you want to hear. And so you got to be really careful about that. In fact, it's really good to give it prompts like, hey, don't just tell me what I want to hear. Shoot it to me straight. Like, tell me the negatives as well. Sometimes you got to tell it that, because otherwise it'll just puff your ego up because it's a dopamine machine. And so you got to be really careful of that.
I listened. I think you're spot on where I think we're going to see the value of human relationships and need to lean in. So we'll be a little less like hybrid, mix everything together. And it'll be, I have my AI time and then I have my,
100%.
I'm disconnected. That bias, there is a great, it's a 5-hour long podcast. It's with the founder CEO of Anthropic, which makes Claude AI, if anybody doesn't know. And it had him, somebody he was over programming, and then they have a head of like personality or character for the AI and how they're shaping like the being overly affirmative.
Yep.
It's like, yeah, people are, or overly apologetic. Like, how should you want to interact with this person? And so that was really, if you really want to nerd out,
I do.
it is a phenomenal podcast that I'll have to find out. I'll tell you later. I'll put it in the show notes. My editor will hunt me down for it. But it was just cool to hear how they're working through that. Like, it's not just ones and zeros. Mm. Like, they're having to do stuff so it can expose its thinking to them. It starts asking and answering its own questions. And they're like, we need to know how you arrived at this, because it's not just inputs, outputs.
Yep.
And one of the pieces of advice I'd heard is exactly what you're saying, is working this into instructions. Like, if you're building a custom GPT or a custom project, if you're in Claude, a lot of them have like some base level instructions, is baking in, I want you to ask me questions first. I need you to disagree with me when I'm wrong, or just whatever it is that can create that counterbalance. And I found that when I make sure that that's included in the instructions, or at least in the prompt, my outcome is a lot better. And I also feel a lot more confident about whatever project task I was working on is like, oh, the quality is going to be much better. Because then I go and I show it to a human that might know something more about it than I do. And they're like, no, that looks good. I think this seems well thought out. And I was like, I did this all on my own. I am so smart. Jay, thank you so much for that. I could keep going on because I love nerding out about this, and so do you. But if somebody is listening and they're like, okay, I hear what you're saying. I don't want to get left behind. I don't want to be a leader who gets left behind or a worker. What's a baby step someone could take in the next 24 hours, spending little to no money, to make themselves more, I don't know what the right term would be, AI ready,
yeah,
or AI educated for this future of not just work, but society.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people struggle with knowing, how do I even prompt? What are some of these little hacks of simple things that change everything? What tools should I even be using? Because there's so many out there and it's changing every day. Right. So I actually put together a free guide that people can download. They can just go to AIwithJay.com. That's AIwithJay.com. And there's a free resource download they can grab on there. I'm updating it pretty regularly. I'm actually about to send out a fresh update here, probably before this podcast goes live. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to be hosting some free webinars as well around the topic, just to help community engagement, because I think that this is going to change the world. And I want it as best I can to have an influence to help change it for good instead of evil. And so, yeah, AIwithJay.com is a great free resource. Download that, read through it, and go play with some stuff. Curiosity is key. If you're not the most curious person in your organization, you should either develop that skill or hire somebody who has it, because you need somebody right now who's going, hey, check this thing out. Hey, what about this? Have you tried this? If you're not that person, that's okay, but you need somebody in your organization who is that person, and it'll change everything.
Yes. I love that. So we'll link up AI with Jay. And if people wanted to know more about the webinars, where do they go to find out about those or sign up for them?
Same thing. If you just sign up at AIwithJay.com, I'll send it all out through that same link. So single place to go for all that.
Beautiful. Love that. Jay, thank you so much. And if somebody wanted to know more about you and your work or business builders or any of that, where would you send them?
Sure. I've got a podcast called Building a Business That Lasts, where I host other business owners that have been in business for 10 years or more, and a book by the same title that I wrote on our 20th company anniversary. All those resources, everything else that's available, a lot of it is for free, is available at jowenlive.com.
Okay. That is awesome. And yeah, 10 years. I just talked to a company this morning that just passed their 10-year mark. And I was like, man, good on you. Like it's not for the faint of heart. Well, thank you so much, Jay. I look forward to having you back in the future. Maybe as we get some of these new releases with the AI models and it's doing weird and funny stuff, we'll have you back. Maybe you'll even bring your daughter and she can educate us on what we should be doing and looking for. Thank you to you, the listeners, that you would spend any part of your day listening is just an honor for me. I hope that you found it both entertaining and educational and that you are taking action to grow your leadership. If you would like, rate, review, subscribe, whatever the right button is on your platform of choice, I would appreciate it. Leave comments. I want to make this podcast for you. I enjoy this. I get to talk to cool people like Jay, but at the end of the day, the podcast is for you. So let me know what sort of conversations, topics, things that would be the most helpful to you. And then as you engage, this helps more people discover the podcast. And that can be a free and easy way to help more people on their leadership journey discover conversations that unlock their next step. Until next time, change the way you think, you'll change the way you lead. We'll see you.